God, please turn to the book of Jeremiah chapter 2. The book of Jeremiah chapter 2. I'm taking a little break from our series. I'm trying to follow the leadership of the Lord in this. I was studying a particular passage of scripture in Genesis early in the week in preparation for this service. And yesterday afternoon, sometime yesterday, I felt the Lord directing me to another night scene. And so I felt like he was dealing with my heart, so I began to study on a brand new message last night about 6 o'clock in the evening. And about 1:30 in the morning, God directed me to this. So I'm trying to follow his leadership. I hope he doesn't do that very often. But I'm trying to follow what he gives me to do. And I realize that when I'm studying a passage of scripture, and it's like a jumbled up bowl of alphabet soup, and it's not coming, around 1:30 in the morning, God's trying to get my attention with something somewhere, you know. So he's directed my attention to this message. I've preached this message before, but I cannot get away from it. I want to be guilty of preaching what God lays on my heart. And this message is the message for this hour. There's no doubt in my mind. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 2, look at one verse of Scripture, verse number 12. The Bible says, "Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord." Now I want to draw out four words here that I want you to pay close attention to. It's the title of my message this morning. It's the four words, "Be astonished at this." Be astonished at this. And I preach to you on that subject this morning. Father, we love you. Help us, I pray. May the will of God be done in this hour. For some reason, you've laid this particular message on my heart. And Lord, I'm trying to be obedient to you. And I confess my dependence upon you. I cannot preach this without your help. And as we think about these thoughts, I pray that you'll challenge us, convict us, changes. May you meet with us in a mighty way. Forgive our sins, help us to be clean in Jesus' name. Amen. Jeremiah was a godly man. As a matter of fact, his name means one whom Jehovah appoints or launches forth. He's been called the weeping prophet, and he's been called the prophet of a broken heart. The theme of this entire book of Jeremiah is one word, and that word is the word warning. In this book, we see Jeremiah is called in chapter 1 and then commanded in chapter 2 to take a message to the nation of Israel. But we must understand that this is not Jeremiah's message to Israel. This is God's message. And God's message for Israel in that day is still God's message for us in this hour. Now I want to look at this message and bring out what no doubt in my mind is the main thought of this passage. And that main thought are these words, "Be astonished at this." Now this word "astonished" means to be surprised greatly. It means to be amazed. It means to be astounded. It means to be taken back, to be awestruck, to be stunned or even devastated. And the term where he says, "Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this." Basically, what God is saying through Jeremiah is neither heaven nor earth has ever witnessed anything like this before. Now, there are three things in this text from verse 1 down to verse number 13 that we see that God calls upon the heavens and says, "You need to be astonished with these things." First of all, we notice the first astonishing thing is God's favor on Israel. The Bible brings out in verse 1 and following of chapter 2, notice it now, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Now, what I'm talking about in these verses is we see the first astonishing thing in these 13 verses is, first of all, God showed His favor on the nation of Israel. God said, I remember you, Israel. And He goes on to say that, listen, I remember how you used to be, how you used to come after me and how I was a priority in your life. And He said, because of this, everybody that devoured you offended me. And He's saying that evil will come upon those who turn against you. And the basic thought here is that God, I'm talking about the God of the universe, had taken His time to show His favor on His people, the nation of Israel. And my friends, let me say something to you here. The fact of the matter is this. Psalm 44:3 says, for they got not the land in possession by their own sword, talking about the Israelites, but by thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favor unto them. You know what I'm glad of this morning? I'm glad that God has poured His favor on me. You know what the word favor means? It means His grace, friends. And what I'm saying to you is that all we have to do is just stop and think. If you're saved today, you know what that means? That means the God of the universe has shown His favor on your life. He has given you grace. He has given you mercy. He has taken your sin and He's going to take you to heaven some glorious day. You know what that is? That's an astonishing thing. That's what that is. That is something that ought to surprise us and greatly amaze us and astound us. We ought to be taken back at that. We ought to be awestruck with that. Awestruck at what? That God would take His time to pour His favor out on somebody like me. Aren't you glad God has shown you favor today? It's an astonishing thing when God pours His favor on anybody. I'm talking about the omniscient, the omnipotent, the omnipresent God has taken His time to give me grace and to give me mercy. That's an astonishing thing. The second thing we notice in this text is not only God's favor, but number two, we notice a second equally astonishing thing. It's not only God's favor, but number two, Israel's forgetting. The Bible says in verses 4 to 8, let's read this together. Now keep in mind what He just said in verses 1 through 3. He basically said, I've been good to you, Israel. I've taken care of you. I've watched out over you. I've loved you. I've fought against your enemies. I've been your protection. I've shown you my favor and my grace. My friends, I can relate to that. So can you if you're saved. But number two, here's what God said. Look at verse 4. Hear ye the word of the Lord. This is God speaking. O house of Jacob and all the families of the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me? They are gone far from me and have walked after vanity and are become vain. Neither said they, where's the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through, where no man dwelt. And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. The priests said not, where's the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. If you'll notice what he says in verse 5, he says, what iniquity have your fathers found in me that they've gone from me? Verse number 8, he brings out the point. He says, the priest said not, where's the Lord? Let me ask you a question. Why didn't they ask where he was? Let me tell you why. They had forgotten about him. That's why. And what I'm saying to you is even though God had been so good to them, God had shown his favor in their life, they forgot him and they forgot his goodness. And you know what this text tells me? That we ought to be equally astonished with the favor of God if we ever forget His favor on our life. Now, just in case somebody says, what did they forget? The Lord gives us a three-point outline right here in these verses. Jeremiah 3:21 puts it this way, a voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel. For they have perverted their way. They have what? Forgotten the Lord their God. Now, verses 6 and 7 tells us three things that the nation of Israel forgot about their God. Question, had God been good to them? Yes or no? Sure he had. Had he shown favor to them? Sure he had. Did he have to? No. It was his grace. It was his mercy. It was his love toward them. He was good to the nation of Israel. But yet in verses 4 to 8, we see they weren't too good to him. They forgot him. Three things they forgot. Number one, under it, notice it. They forgot what God brought them up from. Look at verse number 6. Neither said they, where's the Lord that brought us, here it is, up out of the land of Egypt. You say, what are you talking about here? I'm saying this. I'm saying, do you remember that the Israelites were in Egyptian bondage for over 400 years? I'm talking about they were in that land as bond slaves, and yet God, through a mighty stretched out arm, delivered them up out of Egypt. Now, anybody that knows anything about the Word of God understands that somebody being brought out of Egypt is a type, a picture of being saved. And what I mean by that is if you are saved, he's also brought you up out of something. The Bible says in Psalm 40, verse 2, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. Do you understand that a person can get so bad that they can forget that they are saved? That they can forget their salvation and forget God's goodness to them? 2 Peter 1:9 puts it this way, but he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. What I'm saying to you is this, I don't care how bad it gets on earth, if God has saved you, don't ever forget what he brought you up from. I'm telling you, if he saves you, he's brought you up from a life of sin. He's brought you up from the pit of hell, and he set your feet on the rock, and he's established your going, and he's going to take you to heaven some glorious day. They forgot what he brought them up from. Deuteronomy 6:12 says, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. It's astonishing that the Israelites who had God's favor, the Israelites who had God's grace, the Israelites who had God's mercy, they forgot where they used to be. And they forgot what he brought them up from, but they didn't stop there. Number two under this, they forgot what he took them through. Not only brought them up from, but what he took them through. Look at verse number 6. Neither said they, where's the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt? That led us, here it is, through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt. See, God only brought them up, he took them through. And what that means is this. When he brought them up out of Egypt, did he set them to the side and leave them to themselves? Absolutely not. When he delivered them out of bondage, he stayed with them all the way through. And here's what I'm telling you, that God not only saves his children and brings them up, but once he saves them, he stays with them and he takes them through the storms of life. I remember several things. I'm just going to give you two of these. I could go on and on. I'm almost embarrassed to share my little trials with you, and so many of you all have had so tremendous trials. But nevertheless, these are real to me. And God has manifested himself in my life. And I realize if God gives me life and he tarries his coming, that there's no telling what he's going to put me through and all these kind of things. Some of you have been going through major trials this very week. And all I'm saying to you is this. We serve a God who holds your hand through the fires of life. I remember when I was traveling with our teenagers, it's been many years ago now, we were doing one of these mission trips and we were in the St. Louis area. This has been several years ago. As a matter of fact, Levi and Brittany, who are married, they were teenagers on that trip. They'll probably remember this. I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again anyway. Because God showed himself to me during this. Showed himself to my wife. I remember on Friday night there, I was on that trip. My wife had stayed behind on this particular trip, and she was expecting, at that time, our second child. She wasn't very, very far along. I think just maybe a couple of months or something like that, maybe 8 weeks or so. Nevertheless, she was expecting. Friday night service came, and we had a tremendous service in St. Louis. I was preaching to the adults while the teenagers were downstairs running the vacation Bible school. That particular church probably had, in the service that night, they probably had 15 or... And if my memory serves me correct, 7 of them walked the aisle that night to trust Jesus as their Savior. I mean, it was a powerful service. I mean, I'm talking about one of those services that it's just, you're not in them very, very often. It was a great service. After that service, I got on the phone and I called my wife. I'm in St. Louis. She's right here in Gray, Tennessee. We're about 11 hours away from each other. And I was talking to her and rejoicing with her on the phone about what God was doing that particular service on Friday night. I'll never forget this. I forget a lot of things, but I've not forgotten this, and I believe God just has it burned in my heart and mind. And looking back at it, I just see God preparing, that He's just showing little handfuls of purpose just here and there to show us that even in the hardest times of life, He's still there. He's not going to forsake His own. I remember calling her and I was sharing with her the great service we had. She began to weep on the other side of the phone. And she said, "I prayed for you." She's in the nursery. Thank God for a godly wife. She said, "I prayed for you tonight that God would meet with you." But she said, "Jody, I want you to know I lost the baby today." She was here by herself. I wanted to crawl through the phone. If you're a man, you understand what I'm talking about. I know she wasn't very far along, but friends, that was hard. She said, "I lost the baby today, but I prayed that God would give you a great service." And then she made this statement. She said, "I feel like there's 10,000 angels in this room with me. God is so real to me. God is helping me." See, at that moment, we were separated. Just by distance, just in case you're wondering there. Amen. I could not get to her. God had met with me that service by saving people. And even though I could not reach out and grab her, God was in the house with her at the same time and saw her right through it. You say, "What are you talking about?" I'm saying this. That's something my wife and I went through. And God showed Himself real to us. I remember when our daughter Jalen was born, and again, this is an old story, but I'm just trying to show you that Israel forgot what God took them through. I don't want to ever forget what He's taken me through. And He's taken you through some things too, friends. You should never forget it. I remember when Jalen was born, she had a big head. She still does. Of course, you know, just like I've said before, it's all that brain power, you know, her being a Jenkins and all this kind of stuff. It's just all that brain power, you know. Good. They were a little concerned about it because her body was in like less than the 15th percentile, but her head was in the 95th percentile. Can you imagine that? I'm still in the 15th percentile as far as my height is concerned, but some of y'all were thinking about that. I know you were. Anyway, hey, I'm just talking to you today. I'm just sharing a burden with you here. You know one reason God laid this message on my heart? You. Amen. Miss Hoff, you. Miss Cersei. I can't get away from this. God takes His children through hard times. Our baby girl, I said, "What's that mean? She's got a big head." Good night. Find out what that means. That's a dangerous thing. Search into it. Be careful. So my wife found out, and one of the nurses said, "Well, worst case scenario, she could have brain damage." Scared us to death. Absolutely scared us to death. We're human beings, friends. Are you listening? You pinch me, I hurt. I'm a pastor, but I'm flesh. I got scared. That's my baby girl. She's going through some kind of a stage right now. She's scared to death. Hannah helped her. She must be really scared if Hannah can help her. I'm kidding with you. I appreciate you helping her today. Scared us to death. This is our girl. God, what's happening? What's going on? You don't mind if I sit down, do you? I'm trying to make this just like, hey, invite you into my living room a minute. Let me just talk to you a minute. Jalen, she's back there probably causing chaos and everything else. When we found out it might be brain damage, I got alone with God. I took my Bible and I begged God to give me something from His Word. And I just so happened to be in Psalm 46, and here's what it said. Listen to this. This is our baby girl, a she-male. Here's what that psalm said. That day when I begged God for something, here's what He gave me. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed. Glory, I'm getting blessed reading this. Though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There's a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. And I know He's talking about the city of God, but when I got to verse number 5, I just about couldn't contain myself. Because it's my baby girl I'm talking about. And here's what verse 5 says. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. Somebody says that's just a coincidence. Then that's your problem. Amen. God spoke to me. God didn't share with me exactly what. Now, on this side of that, she's fine. She's doing great. I do wonder sometimes she does have brain damage. But anyway, on this side of that trial, everything's fine. But when I was on that side of that trial, we didn't know what we were going to hear. But through it, God held our hands. Don't ever forget what God takes you through. Some of you are going through it now. And I'm glad to announce to you He's been good to you this far. He didn't bring you this far to set you down. He's going to be good all the way through. I want you to think right now, just think right now, what is God taking you through in your life? Preacher Lashley with cancer. 25-day revival, he was right there with you. Put on the old chuck wagon, gang. In 25 days, God held His hand through that trial. Some of you have heartache. Some of you have a death of a loved one. 3 this week. Hey, it's hard when you go to the graveside and I see you crying like that and you crying. That's hard, friends. Glory, that's hard. Trials are difficult. Death of loved ones are difficult. But all I know is the Word of God says in Isaiah 43:2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. God took them up out of Egypt. They forgot it. God took them through the wilderness. They forgot it. But God didn't stop there. Look at our text in verse number 7. He also brought them into a plentiful country. See, they forgot what He took them up from. They forgot what He led them through, and they forgot what He brought them to, you see. He gave them the promised land. He gave them the land that flows with milk and honey. God had been so good to Israel. And yet, at this time in their life, the priests are not even saying, "Where's God?" They have forgotten Him. They've forgotten. And if you are anything for God, are you listening to me? If you are doing anything for God, anything, It's because He brought you up, led you through, and brought you to that place in your life. It's not you, friends, it's Him. Amen now. They forgot Him. But it doesn't stop there. There's a third thing. What's astonishing? God, what is it you're calling on the heavens and telling the heavens, the heights above, be astonished at this? What? At my favor on Israel. Be astonished at what? That Israel has forgotten my favor. And then number three, be equally astonished that they've not only forgotten me, they have forsaken me. The Bible says in verse 10, look at it. For pass over the isles of Chittim and see, send unto Kedar and consider diligently, see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? Interesting, he doesn't answer that because we already know the answer. The answer is no, they haven't. But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Look at verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have, here it is, forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. God is driving home a point in this passage. God is saying, Israel, I've been good to you. I've taken care of you. I've watched out over you. I've taken you up out of Egypt. I've led you through the wilderness, through a land of drought and the shadow of death. I've taken you through I've brought you into the promised land. You have forgotten me. And then he starts saying this, has any nation around the globe done this with their false gods? And he says, pass over the isles of Chittim. See, Chittim are the well-educated. And he said, send unto Kedar. You know what Kedar was? That were the barbarians. You know what God's saying there in verse number 10? Pass over the isles of Chittim and see, and send unto Kedar and consider it, see if there be such a thing. He's saying, go from the well-educated all the way down to somebody who can't even count. And you will not find anybody forsaking their false god. But my people that I have saved and delivered and led them through and brought them to, they have forgotten me. And he said, I am the fountain of living waters. And he said, they have hewed them out broken cisterns that can hold no water. Illustration of that is this. I'm going to put this cup of water right here. And I want you to pretend like that's a fountain of living waters, okay? In other words, it's constantly running. It never runs dry. That's God. I'm talking about the world is thirsty. The world needs something satisfied. He's the only one that can satisfy it. By the way, God's children know in their heart that He's the answer because He's done it for them. He satisfied them. He's the fountain of living waters. He never runs down. He never runs dry. And over here, we have mud puddles. Contaminated water. And the world is over here trying to satisfy, but the more they drink, the sicker they become. It doesn't satisfy, it doesn't quench. And here's God's child. God's child has been to the source. God's child has been taken up out of Egypt. God's child has been led through so many things. God's child has been brought to so many things. And there's a lost and dying world who's over here in mud puddles. And God's child, instead of looking at them and saying, that's not it, over here's the answer. Let me show you what He's done in my life. He brought me up. He brought me through. He brought me to. He wants to do that for you. That can't satisfy. He can come over here. God said, instead of you doing that, you have turned your back on me and you have gone in the mud puddles with them. You have forsaken me and you have hewed out cisterns trying to help these people and trying to get things that you think truly satisfy. But the cistern, the very cistern that you're trying to get the muddy water that can't satisfy you anyway, by the time you dip it in, it's broken. It can't even hold water. He's giving an illustration. I'm telling you, this is still happening around the world. Look around the world and see if the Buddhists are turning their back on Buddha. Brother Harry can tell you that, answer that question. Look around the world and see if the Muslims are turning their back on Muhammad. Look around the world and see if the Jehovah Witnesses are turning their back on their God. If the Mormons are turning their back on their God. if the Hindus are turning their back on their gods, plural. And the answer is no, 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 no. Yet you look in America and look at God's children, and many of them have turned their back on Him. Quiet in here. Let me ask you a question. What was the problem? Why did they forsake God? Let me tell you why. Because they first forgot Him. If you forget Him, you will forsake Him. You show me somebody not reading their Bible, not praying, not witnessing, not in church, not giving, not living a separated life, caring less about God, and yet they're children of God. Are you listening to me? Their problem is they don't remember where they used to be. They have forgotten how good God has been to them to bring them through another day. You know what the Word of God tells me? That our very breath is in the hand of God. That's what the Word of God says. So before somebody says, God's not been good to me, are you breathing? Are you breathing? Because that breath is in His hand. God's been good to us, friends. Don't ever forget what He brought you up from, what He's led you through, what He brought you to. Because if you forget, you will forsake. And may I say that if forgetting is the first step to forsaking, then remembering is the first step to returning. Remember God. Let me give you this thought, and I'm closing. Let me give you a passage to write down so you can read a little bit more about this. If you'll write down Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 to 20. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 to 20. That deals with the same thing about forgetting God. You ought to read that sometime. I'm trying to get you out of here is what I'm trying to do. But I want to show you a verse. Let me ask you a question. Now look here, friends. Look here. I'm right there. This is one of my short sermons. I'm talking about short paper. And I've got about half a sheet to go. Would you agree with me that God has been treated badly in this chapter? Would you agree with me that the nation of Israel has mistreated the Lord here? Would you agree with me that God was good to Israel? Yes or no? Sure He was. He brought them up out of Egypt. That was enough. If that's all He did, that was enough. He didn't just do that. He led them through the deserts and through the shadow of death and through the land of drought. He didn't stop there. He brought them into the plentiful country. God had been good to them. God never left them. They left God. They forgot His goodness. They forgot how good He was. And because they forgot Him, they began to forsake Him, turn their back on Him. Now I want you to think with me. If you were God, what would you do? Thank God we're not God. Amen. Because in our flesh, you know what we'd do? Take them out. Call something in their life and laugh about it. Let me show you what God did. In the midst of all of this, look at verse 9. God says, wherefore, I will yet plead with you and with your children's children will I plead. Here is God who is not a beggar in the sense that He needs something. He's not a beggar in that He needs something. But the one who's been so good to them and met their needs. And these children of Israel who had been so bad to Him, I mean, He had taken them up and led them through, and they're over here with broken cisterns, and the heart of God is broken. And yet when God could have done so many things, He says, I am begging you. What a God we serve, friends. I am begging you. Come back to me. Don't settle for broken cisterns. Now, how is God speaking to your heart? There may be somebody that needs to be brought up this morning out of sin. There may be somebody God's taking you through something right now. There may be somebody that looks back on their life and says, you know, God's been good to me, and I realize I'm on a mountaintop, but I wouldn't be here without God. May God help us to remember so we don't forsake. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for this message. And as you've laid it on my heart, I've tried to be faithful to preach it. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Please, no one looking around. We do this so you can have some privacy there between you and God. Old Brother Page used to come on Saturday mornings. I believe he was 101 years old when he met Jesus. I remember him telling stories about how he'd forget his false teeth. He'd misplace his glasses, and he couldn't find them. He would forget a lot of things, but there was one thing that man never forgot. He never forgot how God saved him. To the day he died, he never forgot the Lord. What is God speaking to you about this morning? Father, take this thought, I pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. I ask you this, has God brought you up out of Egypt? I'm asking, are you saved? Are you a child of God? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? Have you said, Jody, I'm glad I've been brought up. Jesus has saved me. No doubt about it. Be honest, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? You know what that means? That means God showed you His favor. Thank you. You can put your hands down. And that's an astonishing thing. But if there's one here today, say, Jody, I can't raise my hand to that. I don't have that assurance. Is there one like that? Would you raise your hand now? Anybody like that? You say, Jody, pray for me. I'd like to have God's favor on me. I don't know if I'm saved or not, but I'd like to know it. I'd like to know it. I'd like to know it. Won't you come in just a moment? We'll share the gospel with you. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many today say, Jody, I'm a Christian? And I'm going through something now. I'm going through it. And I need the Lord to show me that He's with me. Be honest. Would you raise your hand? Be honest about it. Boy, that's a lot of hands. God help you to come in just a moment. If you're saved, you have assurance that He will never leave you and never forsake you. Never. He'll be there with you through it all the way. Have you today say, Jody, as I look at my life, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, that's settled, there's no doubt about that. But I see myself forsaking some things. I see myself forsaking some things, whether it be Bible reading, your prayer life, whether it be church attending, whatever it is, it's none of my business. But you say, Jody, I'm going to be honest. As I evaluate my life, I see myself as God's child. I'm saved, but I see myself forsaking Him in an area in my life. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand all over this auditorium? Yeah, that's a lot of hands there. Now the message for you is this. Remember. Remember God's goodness. Remember where you were, where you still would be if it wasn't for God's favor on your life. Remember what He's taking you through, whether He already has, is, or will. Remember what He's bringing you to in your life. He's blessed your life, and it's all His glory, His honor, His favor. Why don't you come and ask God to help you remember and return to the things that you've been forsaking? You don't have to tell anybody but God. Let's all stand together, please, shall we? Father, take it and use it in a great way. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Some have already responded. Brother Gary sings, "You leave your place, you come." As he sings, "Come now." Would you do that?
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home.
Say, I need God to see me through something.
Today,
or I've been forsaking
today.
God.
Why from God, the sunshine of love wilt thou roam?
So I can return.
Farther and farther away, calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling today, calling today. Bring Him thy burden and thou shalt be blessed. He will not turn thee away. Calling today. Calling is tenderly calling today.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. They're just playing through softly. God is working, God is moving. Even if you did not respond by coming forward, I hope you're doing business there at your seat with God, talking to Him, sharing your heart with Him, asking God to help you. Amen. Still playing through. There's still time for you if you'd like to come. You're still dealing with one here. Just about done. Just about through. All right, you keep playing. I like it when you play. It just keeps the mood going. This is Ashley Fry here. Ashley, if you'll stand there just a moment. Miss Judy's with you. And Ashley, you know that Jesus bled and died for your sin, correct? And you are coming today, and you are accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Is that correct? So you have trusted Jesus right here. Not relying on your good works, nothing. The shed blood of Jesus Christ. You know what that means? It means you're going to heaven some glorious day. We want to help you with this, okay? This is a new step. This is the greatest step you'll ever take, greatest decision you'll have ever made. You know what it means? The Bible calls it the new birth. You don't mind if I deal with it here just a moment, do you? Just listen, the longer I go, the hungrier you get. So just stay right here just a minute. The new birth. You know what that means? It means you're a brand new baby. Now, babies need help to grow, right? A baby's a baby that never changes. A human being, once and forever, right? So you're saved for eternity. But now God wants you to grow up in His family. That's where we come in and help you, okay? How many of you happy for us? Say a big amen. I'm going to ask you to stay right there, okay? And many of our ladies, if you'll come by and shake her hand, and all of this will be great. Wonder, we're so proud of you. And the burden's been lifted. May the Lord help you now, okay? Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Be back tonight. The Crown Trio will be here. All these kind of things. All of those sign-up sheets on the bulletin board, if you'll just go by and sign up on what's appropriate for you. All right? Very good. I'm going to ask Brother Butch Abbott, sir, if you wouldn't mind to lift your voice and pray today, please.